Chapter 19. I had not announced my arrival to Storrover, and when I rang the bell of his studio on opening the door himself, for a moment he did not know me. Then he gave a cry of delighted surprise and drew me in. It was charming to be welcomed with so much eagerness. His wife was seated near the stove at her sewing, and she rose as I came in. He introduced me. "Don't you remember?" he said to her. "I've talked to you about him often." And then to me, "But why didn't you let me know you were coming? How long have you been here? How long are you going to stay? Why didn't you come an hour earlier? We would have dined together." He bombarded me with questions. He sat me down in a chair, patting me as though I were a cushion. Pressed cigars upon me, cakes, wine. He could not leave me alone. He was heartbroken because he had no whiskey, wanted to make coffee for me, racked his brain for something he could possibly do for me, and beamed and laughed, and in the exuberance of his delight sweated at every pore. "You haven't changed," I said, smiling as I looked at him. He had the same absurd appearance that I remembered. He was a fat little man with short legs, young still. He could not have been more than 30. But prematurely bald. His face was perfectly round, and he had a very high colour, a white skin, red cheeks and red lips. His eyes were blue and round, too. He wore large gold-rimmed spectacles, and his eyebrows were so fair you could not see them. He reminded you of those jolly fat merchants that Rubens painted.